The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The disciples told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized Jesus at the breaking of bread. They were still talking about this when Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." In a state of alarm and fright, they thought they were seeing a ghost. But he said, "Why are you so agitated, and why these doubts rising in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. Yes, it is I indeed. Touch me and see for yourselves. A ghost has no flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Their joy was so great that they could not believe it, and they stood dumbfounded. So he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they offered him a piece of grilled fish, which he took and ate before their eyes. Then he told them, "This is what I meant when I said, while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms has to be fulfilled." He then opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "So you see how it is written that the Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that in his name repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to this." The Gospel of the Lord. Ghost stories are a feature of many places in the world. I know almost each English county has old books of folk tales telling of hauntings and strange happenings in places. From ghoulies and ghosties and long-legged beasties and things that go bump in the night, good Lord deliver us, is a prayer from a litany that I read, was used in places from Cornwall to Scotland, Land's End to John o' Groats, almost saying that it reflected the real fears that people have about ghosts and hauntings. And recently, looking at a little booklet about Penzance from 1825 to 1879 and the changes going on in the buildings and occasionally he'd come across a reference to about this house was haunted, and nearly always often it said, "Now pulled down," as if we can't live in it, we must pull it down. The fear that the spirits of the dead appear in ghostly form has been a feature of superstition for many thousands of years. It's a reminder that it's a real world and that the spirit world is very near and is all around us. And therefore it's not an empty prayer to pray, "May the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace," because we do know situations where, of course, they do not rest in peace. But of course, the reading of the ghost stories in the past, now subject of horror films, of course, is quite different if you're the one in the story. It's right reading what happened when a coach crashed and all the people come back to haunt you, you know, 200 or 300 years ago. It's very different if it happens tonight in your place. And of course, that's what happened to the disciples. They were struggling to come to terms with what had happened, the passion, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus. The astounding stories that were coming from the women who'd been to the tomb, from Peter and John, from the two that we've just picked up in that gospel that were returning having met Jesus on the Emmaus Road. No wonder then when suddenly this Jesus appears and they're frightened and afraid and think that they're seeing a ghost. What they were hearing was that he was risen, but what they felt was that they were seeing a ghost. It had all gone horribly wrong. In a state of alarm, in a state of fright, they think this is a ghost. And so Jesus is at pains in all the resurrection appearances to go to great lengths over and over again to prove that he has truly been through death and has risen. And that is not the same as a ghost. And to prove it, he is saying to them, have you anything to eat? Because a ghost doesn't eat. And a ghost hasn't flesh and blood and bones. As you can see, I have. So he invites them to look at the nail marks in his hands and his feet. And he did to Thomas, reach here, your hand, your side, to put it in. Over and over, he's trying to get across the point that this is something different. This is not a ghost. This is the resurrection, glorious body. And he has come victorious with risen body, glorious. Because his body is different. And yet, at the same time, they recognized him. And he says to them, I have flesh and blood. This is the one, the body that you crucified. So there's no doubt about that or there. Do notice Jesus is patient with them. That first calming note, peace be with you. And after we've celebrated, as it were, the death of the Lord in the sense of the bread and wine being blessed, turned into the body and blood of the Lord, before we receive, we hear that Lord saying to us, peace be with you, an important part of our Mass. Because he then invites you to see and to feel and to touch. This is the risen Lord. This isn't a ghost. This is Jesus in his risen body. The same time that it was the same body, it was also different. Because it's no longer limited by time and space. It can come through locked doors. It can come and go at will. It's no longer confined to this earth, but now incorruptible and endowed with spiritual qualities, he is risen. This is the risen body. And he reigns in that risen body forever. So the ascension, one of the great truths of the ascension, I do nearly bring it out every year, if not every year, he has raised our human nature to the throne at God's right hand. This risen body isn't a ghost that flits about. This is a new glorified body. And even more, says St. Ambrose, Jesus' risen body prefigures the resurrection bodies of the saints. And always remember, you're all called to be saints. By convincing us of his own resurrection, he reassures us of our own resurrection too on the last day. And so St. Luke, just like St. John in last week's Gospels, is at pains to show how the disciples were gradually to move from fear to wonder, from wonder to faith, from faith to joy, and from joy to service. And that's a process that in this Easter time particularly, but actually it's something that happened every week, every day. The risen Jesus comes. And as he did to them, he came and explained the scriptures. That's why the ministry of the word is such an important part of the Mass. It's not just a tacked on, but it's the important part, an important part. The two tables, as it were, of the word and the sacrament. Because the risen Jesus came and said, everything in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. And we get all that each time we hear. But then, making him known in the breaking of the bread, as they did. So gradually, but convincingly, he says, the plan of God is revealed. The whole drama of creation and temptation, of sin and forgiveness, of love and hate, of death and life unfolded to the disciples. Therefore, unfolded to us as they begin to see themselves caught up in this great, wonderful miracle of God at work in his Son, in the risen Son. And the part we have to play in that redemption for the whole world. And in a way, when we begin the Easter celebration, I think our bishop always reminds us, it begins in Lent. That's the sin and the temptation. And of course, when we get to the Easter Vigil, the first reading, the creation leading on to the redemption. All that is there, feeding and nourishing us. And then the church says, after your 40 days, you've then got 50 days to sort of take all this in. Because there are moments when we feel we are afraid, when we feel it's a ghost, when we feel it's not real, all those sort of things. And the Lord's saying, you need time. But in that, hear him saying to you, peace be with you. And hear him say to at the end, go either announce the gospel of the Lord or glorifying the Lord by your life. Because as we move from that fear to wonder, wonder to faith, faith to joy, joy to service, it's to send us out to proclaim the risen Lord.